Thank you for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show, and you are listening to episode, you know, I think it's going to be 51. I'm not positive. And the reason I'm not positive is because we recorded a bunch this past week, a couple of the past episodes, as well as this one. It's a special event show, I think. It's the Star Wars panel show. I want to thank all the folks that came out to watch us record and participate, even some good friends of mine and some new friends that I met that night. We had a ball over at Gabby's Grill in Prescott Valley. Gabby's a friend of the show as well as a frequent location where we record. Gabby'sGrill.com is where you find out all the info on them. Jim and Kelly Cabral, who take care of us, as well as the entire staff at Gabby's Grill. So thank you to those folks. And of course, like I said, the folks that came out to watch us record. And us being, usually when I say us or we, it's a lie, because it's usually just me. Me, a microphone, and that's all the Mile High Show is, and of course my guests. But this week we were a we. The panel show consisted of show sponsor James Haight of Victory Wealth Services. He can be found at victorywealth.com. He sat in, as well as Frank Abril, a former guest of the show, and Hollywood insider, my good buddy Uncle Frank, who worked in the Hollywood studio system and is a big sci-fi fan, and former guest as well, John Rust, local sports director for KYCA radio, and sci-fi author, sci-fi and adventure author. He was there to educate us all on all things that go on in John's head, and I'm not quite sure if that's a plus or a minus. You can decide. As well as Matt Hinshaw, a good friend of mine and photojournalist for the Daily Courier, Prescott Newspapers, Inc., Western News and Info, and Star Wars fanatic, and great collector of dolls, or he likes to call them action figures. No, they're dolls. Sorry, Matt, they are dolls. And another good friend of mine, Mr. Brian Lottie, the gadget guy, who runs a local tech support company. So thanks to all those folks. I'll have links to their various web and social media sites so you can show your support to the local businesses and the local arts that the Mile High Show and myself like to promote. So thank you guys, James, Frank, John, Matt, and Brian, for helping out. And of course, the good folks at Gabby's Grill. So check them out. And thank you, James, especially for victorywealth.com. Taking care of your financial needs in and around the Prescott area. Enjoy the show. I hope you enjoy it. Oh, and don't forget to stick around for the outro to hear my final thoughts on whether or not I have been converted to a Star Wars fan. So don't bypass the outro. It will include a couple of final thoughts by me, as well as a special treat, a special musical treat. Well, hey, thanks for listening to the Mile High Show. We sure appreciate your support and your loyalty to the show. If you want to give us a little more support, go to milehighshow.com. Click that big Amazon button right in the middle of the page. That'll take you to your regular Amazon login page for Amazon or Amazon Prime. But it shows Amazon that you got there through us. So they'll give us a little kickback. So click that big button, that big Amazon button at milehighshow.com, and then bookmark it. Slap it right there on your toolbar. And then use it anytime you do your online shopping. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but it lets Amazon know you got there through us. And they will give us a little taste back. Help us keep the lights on. Help us keep gas in there in our mobile studio, that van that I drive around in. And it will allow the Mile High Show to continue and interview and sit down and talk with all of your favorite artists, entertainers, newsmakers, all the folks that you want to hear from. So Amazon.com, right there through the MileHighShow.com button.
Buzzer or something just held it with you.
Hey, do you mind? We're recording. Okay? Can we get started?
Whenever you're ready, sir. Jesus.
Well, thanks for coming in. This is great. We got a nice little turnout and some good folks hanging out at the edge over there, and the good folks at Gabby's taking care of us. Wanna start with just introducing who's here, James Haight. To my left.
Hello.
Tell us who you are. Give it, plug away. Where can folks find out about you?
James Haight, Victory Wealth Management, here in Prescott on Grove Avenue.
Check us out at victorywealth.com.
Let's start that over. Give me it again. I don't know why all of a sudden you got quiet. You're good. I had you dialed down wrong.
James Haight, Victory Wealth Management.
James Haight, Victory Wealth Management.
That's creepy.
Check us out at victorywealth.com.
Frank Abril, Uncle Frank, who's been a guest here before. Thanks for hitching a ride with James, I guess. What? You put a lot of effort into being here. You got pants on.
We think he has
that
pants
was the
on.
Last yeah. interview.
That was the last. Yeah, the last interview. He was not wearing pants. Really,
shorts.
He wasn't.
Yeah,
that's debatable.
Okay, I'm Frank Abril. I've been involved in the movie industry for many years, about 40 years. So I like to put my input in a lot of things you're talking about. So whatever you might not understand, you can ask me some questions.
We are looking to Frank to give us a little what they call inside baseball, just his thoughts on the studio systems and some of the movie magic that we all see on the big screen. John, tell us who you are, where folks can find you, and please plug away your Saturday morning show, if you could.
Okay. John Rust, I am the sports director for KYCA Radio, 1490 AM on the dial.
And big shot.
Also, you can find us online at kyca.info. I do all the weekday sports reports. I also host the Tri-City Sports Roundup every Saturday morning at 8:06. In addition to that, I'm a published author. My two science fiction books are Sea Raptor, about a sea monster just causing bloody havoc along the Jersey Shore and an ex-Army Ranger going to stop him, and Dark Wings, which is an alien invasion novel. I've also written several short stories. I've written a blog about the top 10 most shocking moments in DC animated history, and also have written dozens of stories on fanfiction.net, ranging in genres from Harry Potter to Godzilla.
Now, I've got a lot of questions for you. I think the one that's on everybody's mind here, KYCA.com was taken? What? Why .info?
I don't know. That's just what the station decided.
Yeah.
I had no input in that. It's just we're online. Okay, that's the address.
Brian Lottie.
I run a little computer business, the Gadget Guy, and I guess you can email me at azgadgetguy@outlook.com.
Oh, so, thank you.
What do you do? Repairs, programming, yeah, a little bit of anything? What do you like doing?
Repairs mainly. A lot of repairs.
A lot of repairs.
Software stuff.
Before or after the martinis kick in?
Usually before, okay. Only occasionally after.
Okay, drink up, my friend, drink up. Now, I saved the best for last.
Jesus.
Because I wanted him to see how people can speak without using foul language. Matt Hinshaw, Instagram, Twitter.
Instagram, Twitter, I'm at Hinshaw Photo. That's also my side business, HinshawPhotography.com. But what most people know me for, I am one of the photographers for the Prescott Daily Courier.
He also has probably the largest doll collection I have
Dude,
ever
seen. Dude,
they're
toys. They're not
doll
dolls.
Collection.
Stop lying, hater.
Well, why we are here today is to talk Star Wars. We do have a most of the world is looking forward to the upcoming Star Wars, what is it, number seven?
Seven. The Force Awakens.
In the series, a new Star Wars movie coming out that's going to be playing right across the patio from us here over at the Harkins Theater, among other screens around the world. These folks here, some watching, we got a nice little group watching us as well, and the rest of the panel here are Star Wars fans. I, sad to say, am not.
And you borrowed the movies and didn't even watch them.
So you guys have fun. I'll see you later. I appreciate the movie. I've the films. I've seen them all at one point or another.
Liar.
I tried to watch them this past week, but I was extremely busy. How's that for an excuse? No?
Not a very good one. I'm very busy, too, and I still have time to watch them.
I borrowed about a foot-high stack of DVDs from Matt Hinshaw, started watching. Now, to be fair, I did put the first one in at about 11 o'clock at night after working about an 18-hour day. So the credits, beautiful. They were gorgeous.
Opening or ending?
The opening. I think they're bad for your health because after about 20 minutes of sleeping on the couch, I had a really bad neck pain. So I don't know if that was movie-induced or couch-induced.
Yeah, I was going to say, you need a better couch.
It's your old one, I think. I saw the original Star Wars, which was actually number four, right? Correct? Is that how it went? Mm-hmm. It came out when I was about 11 years old. I didn't see it until I was in high school. I was sitting on my buddy Steve Murphy's couch, and we watched it. And he was very surprised because it had been out for a number of years before I got a chance to see it. But for a lot of folks, when I hear them talking Star Wars and the whole film universe there with the Star Wars universe, they always go back, the first time I saw it. So let's just do that real quick. Let's go around. We're going to start with Matt.
Tell
us about when you saw the very first Star Wars movie. How old were you?
I don't know. I think I was probably 7 or 8. My parents had a VHS of it, flipped it on, you know, watched it with the family. Because clearly I wasn't even around when the original movie came out, unlike yourself.
Man. What number is he? I turn that mic off right now. What do you remember about it? Why did it make such a large impact on you? And when I say that, I'm not joking. This guy has a room or two dedicated to Star Wars memorabilia.
It's not a room or two.
An apartment or two?
Sure.
He's got a garage filled with crates. I can supply the address on the website in case anybody wants to go in and borrow. No,
I work a lot, so.
Man. He's got a lot of dolls. What's your
calling them?
They're called action figures.
A lot more.
What's your dog's name?
Boba.
Boba what?
Fett.
He had to explain to me that's a character in the movie.
Yeah.
I think he wears a helmet and flies. I don't know.
He's the world's greatest bounty hunter. How the hell do you not know that?
The universe.
Sorry.
Didn't he have like a jetpack or something?
Yeah, jetpack helmet.
Why did you look at me like that when I said he flies? Man, these guys, they're... So what was it like when you saw it? Were you completely blown away?
Oh, yeah,
or did
I was
it take
sitting
a while?
On the couch. I was just blown away. It's like the ultimate, you know, kind of... cinema experience. It's the blockbuster movie. I mean, it all started with Star Wars, you know? It just... The story, the dialogue, it's the classic story of the princess and the scoundrel and just the storyline.
Which scoundrel?
Oh.
That would be Matt Santos.
See, as you can tell, he still hasn't seen the movie.
At what, 8? You said about 8 years old? You remember
7,
seeing
8
it?
Years old, yeah, something like that.
Captivated you right from the get-go.
Yep.
Brian, how about you? Now, you are... Probably a little younger than Matt, I think. How old are you, Brian?
34.
Nope. Oh, mm-hmm. Same age.
Probably
same
about
age.
The same.
Yep.
When did you see it first?
Oh, just like Matt, probably 7 or 8 years old in my friend's living room. They had a VHS tape recorded off of TV of Star Wars: A New Hope.
And what were your impressions? Why is it in your mind such a great film?
It's just fantastic. It's a big budget classic science fantasy movie. And as a 7 or 8 year old kid watching it, it had everything. It had lasers. It had laser swords. That was new. It had princesses. It had everything you need.
Yeah. Who's your favorite character?
Oh, I want that in one.
Frank Oz.
I liked when Grover fought with a sword. That was nice. I enjoyed that.
That's really nice, yeah.
I didn't get that question.
Well, we figured if you didn't name your dog after your favorite character.
No, I didn't actually.
Okay, who's your favorite?
Darth Maul, by far.
It's the red guy, right?
Ooh. No. Very first one, double-bladed lightsaber.
Yeah, isn't he red?
Well, red and black, yeah.
Okay. Why do you look at me like that? That was a legitimate question. He was the red guy.
I'm going to look at
everybody.
He's
one of three good things about the Phantom Menace, so you have to enjoy him.
We're going to get to that, because oddly enough, if I had to pick my favorite character, it happened to be
of the movies you still haven't seen.
It happened to be somebody that everybody else hates in a movie everybody else hates.
Oh,
I like a good Rastafarian when you get a chance. James, in between bites of your potato skins there, now you are... We're working our way around the room to get to people of age. So, James, I think you're...
I think you are a person of age, Frank. I'm sorry.
I had a couple. It's for everybody.
Yeah, go ahead, Les. Go ahead. James, tell us about your first Star Wars experience.
It was a cold and dark, stormy evening. Actually, no, my first Star Wars experience was Jedi at my cousin's house.
All right, Jedi being in one of the movies.
One of the movies. Hey, we're going to have to ask you to leave, Matt.
What number was that?
That would be number six.
Six.
Mm-hmm. So it went, what was the first one? New Hope?
New Hope.
So
yes.
what we knew as Star Wars.
Yeah, they
New
only
Hope,
changed it to New
episode
Hope later.
Four. Then
Empire Strikes Back,
Return of the Jedi. And then it went to number one.
Then went to the number one.
I don't like this new math. And what was the number one?
Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace, and then what?
Clone Wars.
And then what?
Revenge of the Sith.
And then the new one is what? The one that's coming out?
The Force Awakens.
The search
for more money.
So this is...
You're getting it mixed up with Spaceballs again, James.
How old were you when you saw that, what'd you say, Jedi was the first?
I have no idea. Probably 9 or 10.
9 or 10? Captivated right off the bat?
It was interesting. I liked it.
Wasn't your favorite?
For back then, yeah, it was.
Back there it was, yeah. Now, when did you see the rest of those in line? Because you see number, the third one
four,
in the line at the
four
time.
Four or five, yeah.
When did you see four or five?
So many times after that, I just don't even remember.
Yeah? What captivates you? Why is it such a good film?
I wanted a lightsaber.
Is it?
And a princess.
Just...
The princess helps.
Yeah, the princess helps.
And I can attest to he has at least one of those.
That's true.
Yeah.
Aww. It's a great lightsaber.
It is.
Leslie's going to kill you. Leslie's going to kill you. All right. I'm going to skip over. I'm going to skip over the next guy here, and I'm going to go directly to John Rust.
Okay.
Because I think we all need a break, and once John starts talking, we can all sit down for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I got to go to the bathroom anyways.
All right, John, your first experience. Now, I'm going to guess, and I'm just guessing. I think we talked about this when you came on Solo to talk about your books. I think we're... pretty close in age.
We're roughly, yeah.
How old were you when the original Star Wars New Hope came out?
I was about 7 or 8 when it came out.
That's his way of saying, no, you're older than me, is what he's saying.
Thanks. Hey,
what was funny was when it first came out, and you know, everyone was just so psyched to see it. Everyone's like running out to the theaters to see it. I didn't want to see it at first. Don't even ask me why. I was 7 or 8 years old. Who knows what kind of logic or lack of logic was going through my head at the time. But I was just determined not to see that movie. And finally, one day, my dad asked me to go see Star Wars. So I just said, okay, let's go see it. So I go see Star Wars. And, of course, I was like, why did I wait so long to see this movie? This movie was awesome. And I think one of the things was, you know, it... You know, people have said this is kind of like our modern mythology. And I think there's a lot of truth to that because you know, you have the young hero who starts out like wanting adventure. You know, and you know, that's all he's thinking about, getting off this desert planet of Tatooine and going off and having adventures, but you see the maturity as you know, he goes on his journey to be a hero, and he realizes that you know, the life of adventure really isn't all it's cracked up to be. You have you know, Princess Leia, who I think was probably one of the strongest female characters we've seen in a sci-fi movie. You have Han Solo, who, you know, was the scoundrel, was the cool guy. In
I lied. He is my favorite.
Yeah,
He's
Han
favorite.
Was great. And I think another thing...
Of the movies you still haven't seen.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think I keep bringing that up.
I think another thing that made Star Wars great was, at the time, there really wasn't much in the way of science fiction that a lot of the mainstream really liked. Probably the last movie to be in that category would have been the original Planet of the Apes with Charlton Heston. But then after that, you know, a lot of the sci-fi at the time was kind of B-grade movies. A lot of it was just, you know, utter hopelessness, where you had nature, animals taking their revenge against humans, and it kind of painted a bleak picture of the future. But then comes the first Star Wars movie, which of course was called A New Hope, and I think that's what it did. It gave a lot of hope, not just to the Star Wars franchise, but to science fiction in general. And, you know, again, there was just great dialogue to it. The actors played their parts so well. There was great action scenes in there. I mean, at the time, whenever you see space battle scenes, you know, you think of like the old Flash Gordon with the rocket ships, you know, flying across the screen.
I told you, we wouldn't have to say
a
word.
Dude,
go ahead, John.
Yeah, I go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the special effects for space battles were not all their crap. It was just really, really bad. You knew it was fake. Where when George Lucas got in there, I thought one of the great things he did was, he went back and he looked at like gun camera footage of World War II dogfights, and he incorporated that into the big climactic battle between the X-Wings and the TIE fighters. And it was just like, wow, man, it's like the ships are actually moving and banking and turning and firing. And it made for a really great space battle that, to me, still holds up to the test of time.
We haven't forgot about you, Frank.
You're going to have to get the hose in a minute.
Now, you, in our discussion here, you're the first one to see this on a big screen,
yeah,
correct, for the initial viewing?
Yeah.
Do you remember what was going through your head when that movie opened up on a larger-than-life screen? Or
probably what was going through my head was, whoa. I mean, I was 7 years old at the time, so everything was like, wow, this is just so great.
Now, you talked about the a little of the history of sci-fi, some of the predecessors of this genre, and history in general, which brings us up to Frank Abril, the historian of the group, the elder statesman, so to speak. And I can say that because he can't reach me with his fork from where he's sitting.
Oh, no, that's fine.
All right, Frank, you have had the unique opportunity to see movies from the inside out. And like John was talking about, the previous movies, Flash Gordon and things, special effects have always been a challenge for directors and producers and movie makers, because the vision of what you see in your head, what you're imagining when you read something on the page, never quite catches up to the technology that's currently available. You've worked on some sci-fi films. What are some of the ones that really stick out in your mind? I know there's one in particular that you that you and Brian hold dear to your heart.
At the time that the first movie was the first
movie ever.
No,
I knew you were in the system for a long time, but man,
I made you myself. But when Star Wars, the first one that came out, we were doing the Black Hole.
That was a Disney production, right?
Yeah.
And
we didn't realize, we thought we had a lot, Walt Disney thought they had great technology, but they were so outdated that when George Lucas was, what he was doing, once we start getting a little bit information, we knew the movie was good. He did a great movie. It took a year to do the Black Hole, but graphics were not the way George was doing it, the way he was developing that style.
Where did Star Wars and the Black Hole come out in relation to each other?
Just about the same time.
Right about the same time?
Yeah.
What did you? Obviously, you're really proud to be working on the Black Hole for a major studio, Disney. What did you first think when you saw Star Wars on the big screen? What went through your head? Be completely honest.
They got a hit.
Little anger, a little jealousy?
Well, no.
Did you kick the cardboard stand on the way out?
No, because we did a great job in what we had. Walt Disney Productions was just behind. They just didn't want to change. But when they saw that, then their technology started changing also. We started getting updated, but it was too late. The movie was a success. It was good. But, for example, the little robots that was in the Black Hole, it was all hand-done, you know, and I remember painting them, and Maximilian was being painted, but I see it now, and when I first saw it, I thought it was all awesome, you know, and then when I saw Star Wars...
A whole nother level, huh?
Yeah. But you know what? For their time, Walt Disney did a great job. And, of course, everything changed, you know, from then on. If they didn't keep up, they knew they had to change their technology. And they have. They've done.
Yeah. Brian's over here whispering. These are the microphones. They're to pick up what you're saying. So what?
Well, I didn't want to interrupt the aged old man.
Oh, wow.
You know, they talk about being 7 years old. I was 34 then. So that tells you a little bit of my...
Yep.
And
I was 34 once.
Yeah, well, that's... but you know what? I've done others that... I'll take another example, Battlestar Galactica at Universal Studios. Their technology was also... But they started changing. You can see it, you know, with the sequence of the fighters. They started adding a little bit more to it, you know. Graphics and it's either you keep up or you get left behind.
What, Brian, your thoughts on Black Hole? Why does it speak to you? Why is it? Because I remember I did see that one on the big screen. It's okay. I thought the painting was excellent.
Oh.
I noticed that
off the bat. Floors
I didn't
were
know
just
why.
Perfect.
Frank was a painter. Frank was a painter on the set.
The sets were the one of the biggest sets that we were doing the whole spaceship.
This is all generations before CGI, so everything you saw.
Oh yeah,
I mean it was there.
Yeah, matter of fact, I was.
There were some effects in the Black Hole, though, weren't there?
They were, and a lot of the effects were. One of the best matte artists was called Peter Allenshaw. And he's the one that did some of the fabulous, all by hand. And then it was imposed into the movie. But the spaceship itself was humongous. I mean, the sets were just unbelievable. And it was all done by... And I will say, I'll take credit for that. I came up with the color. That's what I was. I was a
Brill number picture. Seven.
The color of the black?
The color of space.
Is that hard?
And you know, it's funny when you talk about we did a lot of blue screen, not so much the green then. But we painted.
It shows.
It does. We painted a whole universe and just black. And then we spattered it, and then superimposed this fantastic 10-foot the ship that was run in. And they thought they were doing awesome. They had a computer camera that was photographing everything, but that was all changes now.
Yeah, Brian, why did it speak to you? What was so special about the Black Hole?
As an adult looking back, it kind of. It feels like one of the last of the old style of making movies. It's beautiful. It's one of my favorite movies. Either me or one of my brothers had a little pillow with buttons sewn on it, and we called him Vincent after one of the robots from the Black Hole. But it's like if Black Hole is the ending of one era, Star Wars is the beginning of the next. And so the Black Hole is beautiful, beautiful movie. wonderful, all the hard work that went into it. I love the work that goes into movies, as Frank has explained in detail.
Great.
You know the voice of Vincent was Roddy McDonald, the actor?
Uncredited.
Yeah, he was a British actor, and he did great.
Of Columbo fame.
Okay, just jump in, guys. Let's just talk. Whoever wants to go first, favorite characters in the whole in the Star Wars in the Star Wars family.
It might be a tie for me between Han Solo and Yoda. And obviously, I mean Han Solo. He was just such a cool guy and rebellious and, you know, wanted to do his own thing. But I also liked his character arc, where at the beginning of Star Wars, he was just really in for it all for himself. You know, well, him and Chewie, because obviously Chewbacca was his best friend. But I think as we see the movies go along, we see Han's character develop. We see how he starts to embrace a cause that doesn't necessarily involve him getting money, and how he starts to embrace a cause that's a lot bigger than himself, and how he comes to depend on the other characters around him, and even falls in love with Princess Leia. And to me, that's one of the things that distinguishes the first three movies from the last three, where you have this group of interesting characters, Han, Luke, Leia, Chewie, and the droids, where under any other circumstances, they would not be together. But because of the threat of the Empire, they're forced to work together, and it just creates a great dynamic. And Yoda... it's like, who would ever think of some, 2-foot-tall Muppet being the most powerful Jedi in the galaxy? But, of course, when you have the one scene where Luke can't use the Force to lift his X-Wing, and he just skulks off saying, oh, I can't do it, it's too hard. And then here's Yoda, puts out his hand. Here comes the X-Wing out of the swamp, and it's like, okay, Yoda is a pretty darn
pretty legit dude.
Oh, he's legit. And then actually, I thought Yoda was one of the best things in the last three movies, between his lightsaber fights. And of course, to me, he had one of the best lines in there when he went, fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, hate leads to suffering. And to me, it's like, that's just a line, especially with everything we see going on today in the real world. To me, that is just a line that resonates so much. And I just keep thinking of it whenever I see, stuff that we see in Paris or in the Middle East or right here at home on some of our college campuses and some of our protests. And that's the line that just goes through my mind. And I just go, I hope we don't end up with just suffering with all these issues that everyone's getting mad about.
Speaking of hate, James, favorite characters.
I'd have to say Paul Hirsch. He was the film editor. Thank you. That was a little brainy, wasn't it?
A little brainy because he's got Google on his phone in his lap. I know what you're looking up.
It's IMDb. But no. I don't know. I like. I'm kind of partial to the bad guys.
Yeah. Why?
That makes two of us. And Darth Maul.
No, absolutely,
dude. Guys. They just have learn.
The bad guys have like the best technology.
Chicks,
they have the bigger ships.
Guys.
They have the, they all wear all black. They don't take crap from anyone.
That's right.
Was that and they cuss love word? Being evil. The Emperor really loves being evil.
But also, Darth Vader, I thought, had some sense of honor about him too.
He's a conflicted character.
Yeah. I think that's what makes him such an interesting bad guy, too, where there's still a little bit of decency in there. It's, of course, kind of hidden by all the darkness.
And the mask.
How important was it to get James Earl Jones as the voice?
Because extremely important.
Can anybody else be? I knew that because I'm a big fan of Bingo Long and the Traveling All-Stars.
I thought you were going to say Conan.
I never saw that. The late night
He's the bad guy in
Oh, I
Conan.
Thought you meant O'Brien.
No.
No, but that voice is just so representative of Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. Was anybody else considered for that? Do you know?
I think Paul Rubens was.
Pee-wee.
Well, initially, the actor that played Darth Vader was supposed to
do the voice,
and they didn't tell him that his voice was going to be dubbed over.
Now,
and it was.
James Earl Jones, not Leslie Earl. I called you James Earl Jones like three times when we recorded that. And what else did I call you? James Earl Ray. Yeah. And
Oh.
I called him several things when I interviewed Les over here.
And now it's on another podcast.
The mistake that will never die. Much
like Jar Jar Binks.
When he did the voice of Darth Vader, if I'm not mistaken, from watching the extras on the DVD that I still have to return to you, he did so without being credited in the original movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think he's credited in the new movies.
Is he not? I didn't make it that far.
I didn't make it
to the end credits. Sorry.
Later on, he was credited, like when they did the remakes. I was just watching something on that. And he just considered his own voice. They asked him if he wanted credit. He said, no, he's merely a sound effect.
Yeah.
A sound effect shouldn't get credit.
But how...
Interesting.
Yeah.
He's getting paid anyway.
There's no other voice that you can picture in there. But in that doc, in the extra features, they ran through some of the screen tests. And Kurt Russell was one that was slated for Skywalker or for Solo?
Solo.
Yeah.
Who else do you guys know of that were either tested for or considered for various roles, you know?
In some of the original, I think in the original script, was it? Han Solo was an alien, green-skinned alien. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any other actors that you know of that might have been considered or been looking, Frank?
Know.
Jump in. You don't have to raise your hand. This isn't
Keep
elementary school.
Keep in mind
school.
That... James Earl Jones had a stuttering problem, and you saw how good he has it's a speech impediment, but when he talks, that goes away.
Yeah.
But if you ever see him be in an interview, you can see where he stutters. Not in that one.
Oh, I can listen to him read the phone book.
Oh, we're almost a legitimate show now. Almost, but not quite. We got sponsors and everything, including Audible.com, your place for all your Audible books and magazines and all the stuff you don't want to read but you want to know about. Check out audibletrial.com/milehigh, where you can browse through over 180,000 Audible titles, downloadable for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player, computer, wherever. You log in again, audibletrial.com/milehigh, where you can get a 30-day free trial and a free download by just typing that in. How about this book, How Star Wars Conquered the Universe, The Past, Present, and Future of a Multi-Billion Dollar Franchise by Chris Taylor. Learn all about the Star Wars universe and the franchise that has been driving this country, driving the world, and driving my guests for over, 30 years, 40 years? I don't know, a long time. A long time to be talking about Star Wars. Check out How Star Wars Conquered the Universe, The Past, Present, and Future of a Multi-Billion Dollar Franchise by going to audibletrial.com/milehigh and get your free download and a 30-day free trial on me. Check it out. Support the show. Put a dollar or two in my pocket. Now, one of the interesting things from that extra features on there is Harrison Ford was not being considered for Solo. They wanted to go with unknown actors, and he had just come off of American Graffiti, so they brought him in just to read lines with the other actors. But he did it so well that they decided to use him for the film. Matt, you were going to jump in with something or no?
No.
What other cast? Who else could you see in any of those roles, or is it so burned into popular culture now that the actors are the actors? Those are the ones they should play. Anybody else that you think?
You can't change them.
Yeah, it's,
they're burned.
I would have a hard time picturing anyone being Princess Leia besides Carrie Fisher. She brought so much strength and so much confidence to that role. I think that's one of the things I was disappointed at when I saw Natalie Portman, who I think is a pretty good actress. You know, play Princess Amidala, because I think I was just kept comparing her to Princess Leia, and I'm like, sorry, Nat, but I've seen Princess Leia in 3 movies. I've seen you in 3 movies, and I'm sorry, you're no Princess Leia.
Yeah, but you got to think about Princess Amidala. She wasn't like brought up like Leia was. She was brought up with a silver spoon the whole way.
Yeah, true.
So you can't really compare the two.
And her planet didn't get blown to smithereens either. She wasn't forced.
Yeah,
she
but
wasn't
it was
forced
invaded.
To hang out with a whiny pre-prepubescent Jedi and a scoundrel in a walking carpet.
another actor that I thought was really good, and you never thought he would do a part like that, was Peter Cushing.
Oh, yeah, that's he was perfect. Awesome.
I mean, this is a British actor that's done fantastic movies.
He was Matt, he was Grand Moff Tarkin. I thought you
were. Once again, he still hasn't seen the movies.
He was in Bridge on the River Kwai, I believe. Is
no.
And he was in
he played Van Helsing.
That was Alex Guinness.
He was also in At the Earth's Core, too, another great B science fiction movie.
Absolutely.
He played kind of a bumbling.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go on to and what year was the episode one? When was that
was
released?
It 98, 99? Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like around 2000.
So there was
I try not to remember those facts.
We try not to think about that.
There was kind of a large gap there. Okay, educate me. Why was that such a fiasco?
One word, man. Jar Jar Binks. That's it. Done.
To be fair. When you test out your surround sound, if you can get the Blu-ray of the Phantom Menace, listen to that podcast.
Matt wouldn't let me borrow that one.
No, yeah. Those are the valued ones, big time.
Yeah, Greg Proops couldn't save that movie, and he's one of my favorite comics.
Ewan McGregor couldn't save that movie.
Yeah. Liam Neeson couldn't save that
movie. Liam Neeson. Why was it so bad? Was it plot? Was it character? Was it too many effects?
I think the effects were one of the reasons. I think what happened was I believe the original Star Wars movie was shot on maybe like a $10-15 million budget.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And here it's like George Lucas finally got a pile of money for all the effects he wanted, and I think it's like, yeah, I'm going to use every cent of this I can for effects, and he kind of forgot about the story and the characters, which were the two things that made the first three Star Wars movies such a classic.
And the effects and the sets and all that was more of just icing on the cake of what was already a solid entity. Mm-hmm. Now, what speaking of storyline and things, I understand that Lucasfilms is not that anxious to get submissions. Is that correct?
I think I know someone who has experience with that.
I have a very significant file folder that's very thick of Lucasfilm rejection letters.
Now, when did you submit your first suggestion?
I don't know, back in 2006?
Something like that, yeah.
2006, yeah. Shared it with Brian and stuff in the past. But no, I had a whole arc. It was completely different. It would still fit in.
Anything you can talk about without the wrath
cease and
of...
Cease and desist letters.
Yeah, cease and desist letters.
Well, have you tried since Disney's taken over the franchise?
I was told by... I was actually told by somebody who actually has written Star Wars material and has it published that Disney is quite incestuous and that would never happen.
This certain somebody may or may not be the author of my favorite Star Wars novel, Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's pretty spectacular, I thought, anyway. And that particular author really liked it as well. So.
Okay, now, when you submitted something, what
I basically
what were
did
you
it because I wanted to collect Lucasfilm letterhead. And so I figured the best way to do that is to send in my ideas.
You will get a lot of letterhead doing that.
Yes.
Yeah. John, you are a published sci-fi writer. You are you've written essays analyzing different genres and different comic and fantasy universes. Where would you now? You may have some insight. I don't know if you do, but with these final three that they're doing, where would you like to see the storyline go as an author?
That's a good That's a
I
good
just figured
question.
We all needed a break.
Go ahead.
You don't have to whisper. Matt's going to the bathroom. Yeah.
Bye, Matt.
Now the internet knows.
It's a question I haven't really thought of because
Yoda escaped. Where'd she go?
I'm sorry.
You were talking about the power of Yoda. Yeah. I grew up with Yoda, and she just ran away.
Well, I've been just kind of anxious to see what the story was going to be in this first one here, because obviously it's a few decades after after the events in the Empire, Return of the Jedi. We still see the Empire is around, so obviously peace has not been brought to the entire galaxy. I'm just kind of sitting back, and I just would like to be surprised. I want to see where this first movie is gonna go. before I kind of say, oh, I wish it would go off in this direction, I wish it would go off in that direction. But what I've seen from the trailers is it does look like they're getting back to basics with focusing on the characters, or I guess having a good blend of character development and action. Obviously, it looks like the story is going to be that, I guess the Force has been dormant for quite a while, and now it's going to rise. And I would like to see if we are going to see a lot more than maybe just one or two Jedi in this movie. If they're going to rebuild an army of Jedi. And I also am anxious kind of anxious to see what direction they're going to take the new villain in Kylo Ren. We've only seen him, in just a few shots of the trailer, but already I'm like, this guy looks like he's going to be bad.
We haven't seen Mark Hamill in any of the trailers. Yeah. We saw his hand and heard his voice, but that's it.
Yeah. And now, of course, we have all the fan theories about, he's going to die, he's going to, go bad. After a while, I just sat there and went, you know what, I think I'm just going to ignore the 100,000 fan theories out there, and I'm just going to go to the movie on December 18th or whenever it opens up, and then I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to see how it plays out.
I'd like to see Luke Skywalker wake up and realize that episode 1-3 was just a bad dream.
Okay. What was your thoughts? Go ahead, Brian.
You know, I lost my thought. You better just...
What was your guys' thoughts when... And we'll ask Mickey Mouse Sr. over here. What were your thoughts when Disney took over the franchise? Anybody jump in. Well, I don't care. Were you concerned or hopeful or worried?
When you really sit back and look at what Disney does, they don't mess things up. They've done great with the Marvel movies, and they J.J. Abrams has successfully turned Star Trek into Star Wars. Now they're just letting him make a real Star Wars movie. And when you watch episode one, you realize that it can't get any worse, so it can only get better. So it can only get better. And one of the most exciting things is they're letting him use practical effects, which have to be, Frank knows more about this than me probably, but I'm sure he does. But instead of just green screens with CGI making it have this lifeless look to it, with practical effects, these new movies stand to have a lot more of that realism that made Star Wars so special, that lived-in world, all the technology, everything had that used, beat-up look to it that was missing in the prequels.
There is one thing that I will beg to differ with you. That mouse made me a lot of money. So
he's a great mouse.
He
I
is
love
a
Mickey
good mouse. But you know, one of the movies that really shows how computer graphics has come is Avatar.
That's the blue one, right?
Yeah. James Cameron.
Dance of the Smurfs.
I tell you what,
Smurfs
he did.
Too.
Battle Smurfs.
He
Battle
brought
Smurfs.
More technology into this. But I say the what I saw in the trailers is it's going to be good.
John talked about this. John talked about this earlier about how for several generations, sci-fi was kind of on the back burner. It was more of the B movie. They got a little cheesy, especially. 50s were just populated with bad and cheesy, now cult classic, fun to watch sci-fi. Was part of that because of the technology? As they're making a movie, real technology was surpassing it. It was just hard to keep up.
Frank, do you want to take this?
Yeah, take for example that one movie that is back in the 50s, the 50-foot woman. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
it wasn't a documentary.
No, it was just an actress with a bathing suit. That the way they filmed her, you know. But this is the way it was done. You know,
woman, and, got it right. Write that
down. Yeah,
and you know, you got to remember that at those times it was great for us kids. I mean, we enjoyed it. It was believable. You know that you see all these kind of little funny little things. That it was so obvious. Somebody mentioned Flash Gordon. Did you see the wires on that thing?
Yeah.
I've never seen a rocket that just spits and spits and spits. But you know what? We enjoyed it. The series were good.
Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I was just going to say that all that stuff was so important because if I could get on a soapbox for a second, I've never considered Star Wars science fiction. It's always felt more like science fantasy to me, because when he talks about his, right? When you hear about the influences, Flash Gordon, yeah. The John Carter books, great Walt Disney movie, absolutely. Completely underappreciated. But the John Carter stories, all of that was fantasy. There's swords, there's monsters, there's wizards, there's magic. So that's always been a sticking point for me. Yeah. It's fantasy, Star Wars.
I will say I am an Edgar Rice Burroughs fan.
Yeah.
Big time. Big
absolutely.
Time.
So what was one of the first... quality sci-fi movies, you think, like 2001 or
I honestly was bored at 2001. I saw about an hour and 10 minutes of that and I went, what the heck is this?
Kind of terrible,
is yeah it? To, you know, to me,
and I like Arthur C. Clarke.
I would probably say the first quality sci-fi movie, I'd have to go with King Kong. Because I think that was just, the effects were so groundbreaking at the time. In fact, the effects were what influenced
Ray Harryhausen
to get into the business. And it was just, to me, it was just like, and
welcome
it was a
to
nice
the John and Brian
take
show.
On Beauty and the Beast.
Get a room, fellas.
Not only that, but also like. For me, when I first saw it as a kid on like a UHF station, it had dinosaurs in it, and of course, seven or 8 year old kid doesn't love dinosaurs? But to me, that was like the first sci fi movie that like really was presented in a big way. I think the 1953 War of the Worlds was another one.
That really won an Academy Award for special
effects too. And quite frankly, I think I'd probably enjoy watching that more than I did do the Tom Cruise War of the Worlds. But I think those were like two of the really first great quality science fiction movies.
You know, even Harry, what was it?
Ray Harryhausen.
All these, if you look at George Lucas and James Cameron, they looked at these men, what they did, their technology, they even moving the little puppet King Kong. They took
that stop,
all
what they call it, stop action.
Cooper?
Yeah, I mean, one shot at a time. And 20,000, it came from 20,000 leagues from beyond the sea. All these things, I bet you every one of those directors have seen these movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they took every little bit of it and they just, that was part of it. That's what made their movies. And they'll admit it. They'll
absolutely.
Say,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That was the man that really pioneered everything.
And I really like how Jack Black portrayed his character in King Kong.
I love the Peter Jackson King Kong. I don't know if I'm alone in that, but
Jack,
I liked it. It was great.
It was okay.
Ew.
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 We don't talk about
who
that.
Who was that? Bridges?
Jeff Bridges, ew.
Do we even want to mention King Kong Lives?
No.
Love for Forbidden Planet from you guys?
Yeah, Forbidden Planet.
Forbidden Planet.
Leslie Nielsen?
Yep. That is the first sort of
Robbie?
Hard science fiction.
Robbie the Robot.
Yeah, so sort of hard science fiction, thing. Everything in it was like as real as it could be when it was put out. You have a giant planet-sized computer, you know, that's like harvesting subconscious memories, Robbie the Robot,
How do I have a mic and he doesn't have a mic? I don't understand.
He doesn't need one.
Oh, that's true. Forbidden Planet is great.
Don't give a mic to a serial killer.
And every great fantasy or sci-fi movie, those directors always refer back to King Kong.
Mm-hmm. Great. Maddie, your thoughts on you've been too quiet over there.
Well,
your thoughts,
dude, I was in the
Disney
bathroom for a minute.
They might have to repaint.
Yeah.
Probably
more than that.
What are your thoughts on Disney taking over the franchise?
Well, I'm not a huge fan of it, but what's nice about it is that you won't have George Lucas trying to direct horrible movies again, like the prequels. So that's one
action
major
figure
benefit.
Commercials.
Exactly. That's one major benefit. I'm not a huge fan of what Disney's done with it, but I've seen what Disney has done with the Marvel films. I'm a big Marvel comic buff, and so far they seem to be pretty lax on it, and they let, you know, they're not keeping it strict like I would think Disney would on profanity and action and blood and guts and stuff like that. Not that there's much of that in Star Wars, but in the Marvel films, they've let it kind of go.
Where do you want to see the franchise go as far as storyline?
Well,
where do you think
I'm a huge fan of the books that were immediately after the original movies, where you have all these Star Destroyers and they're going to war with each other and everyone's trying to grab for their piece of pie. I really would like to see that happen, but I don't think that's where it's going to go. I'm afraid they're going to try and retell the original story of Star Wars like it was in Episode 4. And I'm afraid they're going to do that, and it might be good, but it's not going to be what I would like to see.
If that's what you want to see, might I interest you in my fan fiction?
Well, you have to sign
a
non-disclosure.
I don't
want to
read
it,
though.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll tease it. It's called, and I own the domain already. It's called.
That's interesting.
One of the many, many, many dozens of domains.
Some people golf. I collect domains. Ready for this? The Spawn of Vader.
Nice.
Ooh,
that sounds
like
good.
It.
Give us a taste. Give us a taste after your taste of fries.
Yeah, but...
And do they have to murder the extended universe to do the Spawn of Vader?
Nope, it's completely its own branch.
Perfect. Second favorite Star Wars novel, Shadows of the Empire. Just saying. James talk.
I was a big fan of the prequel. They had a series called Darth Bane. It was about the destruction of, like, the Sith, and it was what started the whole Rule of Two. Matt, right. Don't worry about it.
The guy
I thought Bane was from Batman crossover?
The story of it is his father used to call him the Bane of his existence. So when he decided to become a Sith Lord, he took that name on as himself to empower him. And it goes on to Sith were really this big army, and they were fighting the Jedi and army battles and stuff, and he came along and destroyed like everyone in the world and said there's only two so we can be the most powerful. And that's what led to now where there's Darth Vader and the Emperor and it's, you know.
Who called him that, though?
His father used to call him the bane of his existence.
I think Matt's dad said the same thing.
How did that make you feel?
Together.
Would you like to lay down and tell me about it?
Yeah, give me a minute. There's no couches around here, though. He's still eating, man. Give him a minute.
I was just looking to see if James had anything to... go ahead, Brian.
I'd like to know... I forget your name.
Oh, John?
Dude,
John?
Watch out, man.
Sorry.
You're
going to
get him
going.
Okay. I'd like to know how the writer at the table feels about Disney kind of killing the entire Star Wars extended canon and all those novels and comic books and video games and everything.
It stinks. It's part of the Star Wars universe. Instead of killing it, why don't you embrace it?
Include
why don't you use it to, you know, maybe get some ideas for your movies? That's one of the things that really irked me about the World War Z movie, because I thought the book was incredible.
The book is insane.
Book was great. And the movie, it was just like, well, we're calling it World War Z and we're having zombies in it. And those are the only two things that they took from the book. And I'm like, you have all this other great stuff in here.
Wait,
why don't you put that in the movie?
You mean Brad Pitt wasn't in the book?
What? No, Brad Pitt wasn't in the book.
Oh, I've never read that.
He's dreamy.
but it's like you have all this great... Why don't you put the stuff from the World War Z book into the movie? That way you don't have just another zombie movie, which is what it became. And it wasn't really all that great a zombie movie, I'll be honest.
Okay, let's bring him back in.
Star Wars novel with zombies. Just so
I want to open it.
Oh, there is one.
I want to open up the fighting here, and I'm just going to ask, what was wrong with Jar Jar Binks?
I got that. What? Hold on, I missed the question. Brian and I were talking.
What was wrong with Jar Jar Binks? He's a horrible, unfunny character.
Hour four begins.
We're going to need a lot more time on this podcast.
Go, Matt, you first.
Oh, dude, just number one, the way he talked and the, you know, him being silly and dumb. Like, I understand what George Lucas was trying to do. He was trying to attract young kids into his franchise and get them in there to be, you know, embraced in there. But it's just, it was just dumb.
To hook the sugar cereal group into wanting a new toy.
You know, the kids that need that.
Yeah, Brian.
And it just was too slapsticky.
And it wouldn't have been the first time. The Ewoks, some people think, were a similar case where it was just a little too cute for...
I agree.
What they wanted to see, but I feel like the CG animation, it just made it that brought it to that extra step of ridiculous. Seeing this big, what was he, 7 feet tall guy stomping around? He did incredible things. In fact, online you can find a great theory about Jar Jar being a Sith Lord, but He did manage to do everything right, but he stumbled around. It made it a cartoon.
Now, you're saying that you believe, both of you guys believe that the character of Jar Jar was to rein in and grab hold of that very young audience.
Yeah, I would say probably 6 years old and younger. Easy.
In doing this research, this extensive research I did for this podcast.
Yeah,
we
didn't watch the movies. Let me just bring that back in again.
Yes.
I did run across some interesting facts, one of which, and you guys may have to correct me if and when I'm wrong.
When?
You're wrong.
No, this is... when they started, the initial groundwork for, what was it, Phantom?
Phantom.
Michael Jackson lobbied hard to be the character of Jar Jar Binks and as a live-action character. What is your thoughts on the whole idea of using Michael Jackson to lure small children into a movie theater?
That doesn't sound great.
I'm not sure I'm allowed to comment on this one. I mean...
No, but from what I heard, the story I heard is he lobbied hard for it, and they had in their head the whole time it was going to be a CGI character. And when he didn't get it, he was at a function, an awards function, after party or something, and refused to speak to Lucas. They tried to get him...
Good idea, Michael Jackson.
Now, wasn't... And again, this is from the rumor mill, and... Since you're the big Boba fan.
Yeah, but I stay away from whatever you were saying in Jar Jar, man. No, I don't like him, and I'm not going to research him. Sorry. No.
Yeah. On Boba Fett, one of the reasons why Boba Fett was such a popular character, wasn't he the first toy to come out? Wasn't it like a pre-release toy?
It's a possibility. I think he was. Recall that, but I remember I think the first order of toys was actually the four main characters where it was.
But before the movie came out, Boba's toy, Boba's action figure was available, and they were trying to spur interest in the toy chain.
It's a possibility.
A huge difference is Boba Fett is an interesting character. He has, is it one or two or maybe three lines in the whole series?
Hold on. See, but Matt, that couldn't be true because he wasn't in the first film. In the first film, George the toys Lucas were coming out.
No, maybe it was the film that he was in. Now,
yeah, he was in the Empire and after.
How did he get his name?
Oh. Am I right in saying that Boba Fett's first appearance was the Star Wars holiday special? That hasn't brought up yet.
Yeah, I think it was.
The animated part.
How did Boba Fett get his name?
Was he in a cantina.
Yeah, that's
George
right.
Lucas
he was in the cantina.
Was on the toilet, and he was playing Mad Libs, and he was putting together names for his silly alien people, and he came up with Boba and Fett. My theory.
Your theory. No, this is what I have heard, and again, it was from a fairly reliable source, somebody who was actually, he was in Phantom Menace, so maybe it doesn't count.
Jake Lloyd?
No, Greg Proops, actually. Lucas, growing up, was bullied by a kid named Bob Fett. Decided to put him in there as the bounty hunter and was not happy that he was a popular character because he's getting his bully growing up is now... one of the favorite characters. But yeah, I have heard that Bob Fett, Robert Fett, was a bully that used to pick on him growing up.
So who knows what Yoda's first name was?
I think it's Mary.
No.
As he points to his mom. That's terrible.
She can't reach me from here.
No. Yeah. Seriously?
No.
Minch got water, man. Watch out.
Minch. M-I-N-C-H. Minch. Minch.
Did you know the name of the little blue Yoda person from episode
Rover?
One?
No.
I think it's Yaddle. Is that right? Yaddle? I'm pretty sure it's Yaddle.
I don't know.
The thing that I like about Boba Fett and why he's so different from Jar Jar Binks, action figures aside, is that he is a mysterious character. He doesn't say much. You don't know quite what his motivations are, except he doesn't really care for Han Solo. You don't even know why.
Well, the Han Solo thing goes back to Jabba the Hutt. Boba Fett is one of Jabba the Hutt's big bounty hunters, and that's why he's always after Han Solo. I think Boba Fett's main main focus is just like everybody else, money. You know, he doesn't care who it is as long as they're paying. That's pretty much the ideal bounty.
And his armor is pretty cool, too. I mean,
he looks incredible.
Yeah. Okay, and that's based on the Mandalorian armor, which, you know, he got. But, right. Yeah, I can keep going. I'll stop there. Mandalorian, it's a race. Anyways, no, have you guys heard the rumor that they're going to bring him back in 7? Like, he escaped out of the Sarlacc pit? Oh, man. I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
Patton Oswalt thing on Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, that was
which you will be hearing at the intro to this episode.
In
what's that?
You'll hear that as the intro to this episode.
And for what it's worth, just a little bit of fan speculation here, but for what it's worth, in the Star Wars Battlefront trailer for the video game, they show a shot of Boba Fett flying over a Sarlacc pit and saying "never again" or something
like that.
So
now, I don't know. How many people have bought it? Is going to get that game on Tuesday because it comes out Tuesday. The new Battlefront?
No, it's been out for a couple of weeks.
No, the new one comes out on the 17th.
It's been out for a couple of... This won't be on for another 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right, time lag. Mind. Internet time lag.
I was going to say, I bought an Xbox just so I could play it.
All right, we're coming up on the hour. Last little bit of business that I want to get your guys' thoughts on.
George is going to be more than an hour.
Han shot first.
He did shoot first.
On shot first.
In the original.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. That's there a nice go. Argument.
What? Explain it. Oh. Explain it to a knucklehead, Brian.
It's super important to Han Solo's story arc because he ends as a hero. But way back at the beginning, someone already mentioned it. He starts as a scoundrel and a bad guy. I don't know if I was close enough to the mic. And
so
when he
what
shoots,
was the change? What was the change? Explain.
Well,
give me the
George
background.
Lucas.
George Lucas changed it and.
Change what?
Someone
give me,
hopefully
give me the
can
background,
tell.
Give me the background, though. Talk about what the scene is.
Greedo. Was Greedo a bounty hunter? You better.
I think Greedo was bounty hunter. But, yeah, they were sitting in the cantina in episode 4. And George Lucas changed it in the re-releases in the 90s, which I stood in line for as well. But they had Greedo.
You do a lot of standing around, don't you?
Star Wars fans, dude.
Tons.
We stand a lot.
But... Yeah, no, in the re-releases, they have Greedo shoot first, then Han shoot. In the originals, Greedo, as pointed out, Greedo didn't fire at all. Han shot him, and that was it.
So he was just a cold-blooded killer. And
exactly.
That was key to his whole
story arc.
Yeah, making him a scoundrel, exactly. Yeah.
Cold-blooded bound... No, he wasn't a... Was he a bound... No, he was
just a pirate.
He was just a pirate.
Yeah.
He was a smuggler, exactly. Yep. And... he started out as a smuggler who only cared about himself, and slowly and gradually you see him care about everyone around him and his friends.
So what's your story arc like, James? When are you going to become a good guy?
I thought I ordered a cheeseburger.
All right. Well, thanks, folks. Everybody that showed up to hang out
with
us.
See, I think you should ask about the new movie, what we think is going to happen on that.
We did. You were in the bathroom.
Yeah. That explains
it. Pay attention, dude.
John, let's go around again. Plug away.
Okay. Well, since this is a science fiction-oriented show, you can purchase my two sci-fi books, Sea Raptor and Dark Wings, on Amazon.com. And I should have a new action-adventure novel coming out in 2016 called Fallen Eagle, Alaska Front, about an invasion of America.
Frank, thank you so much for coming in. And you could be found on your porch. Most afternoons.
Or in his orchard.
Remember, after almost 40 years of being in the movie industry, it is great to be on the porch.
Give us your top 3 projects that you worked on so we can go over to Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon and watch them.
Oh, Project Runway.
No, it was, a lot of...
Movie or television?
Hey, what's the one you have the chair for in your garage? That's that one. What's that one?
Well, that was, I did...
Criminal Minds.
One show that we decided that we were offered. We did it for about a month, and then my partner said, no, we don't want to do it. It's not going to work out. Grey's Anatomy. So we left that.
What a flop.
We went over to Criminal Minds. And there's been a lot of successful shows that I've done.
But what were your favorite to work on? What were the funnest?
Oh, when I was at Walt Disney, Pete's Dragon was a fantastic. It was animated in live action, and then another one was called The Cat from Outer Space. Yeah. Was Betty Davis? Well, actually, she was old then. And we did a...
What are you, the pot or the kettle?
We did a flying saucer that looked just like a cat. These were some of the shows that I enjoyed. And the Black Hole I enjoyed doing because I met Ernest Borgnine, and he was the most wonderful actor.
Well, Mr. Hollywood, thank you for joining us. We've made it another episode with Frank, and we have yet to bring up bull insemination, which is one of his hobbies. If you want to know more about it, go back in the archives.
That sounds like a terrible
hobby. Listen to my interview with Frank Abril. He just to let you, he's a farmer. He raises his own livestock. This is what he does in his retirement. He runs an orchard in his home. At his home, not inside. Gail won't let him. He raises livestock and butchers them himself. I've been to his house for barbecues. The guy's incredible. But no, all kidding aside, the guy does more in his retirement than most of us do working full time. So thanks for joining us.
You're welcome,
James. Hey, you want to go to Brian while you catch your breath? Brian, plug away, Gadget Guy.
The Gadget Guy, and since I let the domain go because I'm too busy to build a website,
James probably bought it.
He might have bought it. James, could you build me a website for now? AZGadgetGuy@outlook.com, and as everyone on Tatooine. And in Paulden knows, sandstorms are very dangerous.
Maddie, plug away.
I don't know what I need to plug. I have too much.
Where
he only works for the only newspaper
the only
in
newspaper
town.
In town,
so.
You know, Daily Courier.
Photojournalist for the Courier.
Instagram,
photo.
Twitter. I haven't signed the contract yet, but photographer for the Arizona Rattlers next season, most likely.
Would be your second season.
Second year, yep. Let's see. Daily Courier, that, my own stuff, Hinshaw Photography.
What's the website for the RC Club?
Oh, Casadero.com. Yeah, that's. I think that's a more fun hobby than inseminating bulls, but whatever.
Hey, obviously, you've never been to Frank's house.
Well, yeah, I got it backwards. I'm sorry.
You try to do a bully.
He might come after you, huh?
You might want to. Maybe you guys could get together and you could figure out how to do it with remote control instead of, you know,
Frank
rubber
just
gloves.
Likes to bring joy to the bull's life.
It's all hands on. That's all.
Wow.
Mr. James Haight.
There goes the iTunes explicit tag.
Mr. James Haight, where can folks find out the goings and comings of you?
James Haight, Victory Wealth Management. Check us out at victorywealth.com. We're Arizona's only flat fee financial advisory.
So he's talking to a bunch of broke people about money. This is the wrong audience for you, but anybody out there who has money to invest and wants to hold on to it, get a hold of James.
I like to do charitable work.
Me. That's why you're here.
My
with
wife
me.
Has a quarter collection. Can we invest it?
Yes, only if you have all 50 states.
We do?
We do.
Sweet.
There's 50 now?
Man. Uh-huh. Well, they just recently added Arizona.
Do you hear that, Frank? We're falling behind. And I'm Matt Santos, milehighshow.com. We post each and every Monday. You can find us there, milehighshow.com. Links to our social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook accounts are there. And also iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn every Monday. This is coming out, I don't know, sometime if I hit the right button. Yeah, I think we're recording. Thanks for showing up, guys. Appreciate it. Well, that was our show. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you again to the good folks at Gabby's Grill, the staff, and Jim and Kelly Cabral for taking care of us. And a special thanks to panel member James Haight of Victory Wealth Services. Check him out at victorywealth.com. Thank you, folks, for sponsoring this show. And the rest of the panel, of course, Frank Abril, John Rust from KYCA, Matt Hinshaw from the Daily Courier, and a special thank you to the gadget guy, Mr. Brian Tiberius Lottie. He was concerned. He reached out to me a couple of times before we started recording in the weeks leading up to this show, and he was worried he wouldn't have anything to contribute, and I will go on record to say, Brian, you were the star
of this show. You brought a great level of expertise and enthusiasm to your love of the genre and the Star Wars universe. So thank you, Brian. I think he is definitely the MVP of this podcast. So thanks again, Brian. Now, the moment you, well, you probably weren't waiting for it. You probably don't care. But the moment of truth, am I now a Star Wars fan? Have I been converted? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. again, not my favorite genre of science fiction or fantasy or whatever you want to call it, adventure films. I love adventure. I do like these movies. I will definitely revisit them. As Maddie Hinshaw pointed out several times, I did not complete my homework assignment. I did not watch the entire six films complete leading up to the show. I did scan through them. I watched some of the special features, the docs, and the commentaries. I enjoyed. I will say this. While I have not been a complete convert to the Star Wars family, I am looking forward to watching my own son enjoy watching these movies. Now, he's only six. He's a big fan of classic movies. He loves Marx Brothers. He loves the Stooges. He loves John Wayne. His favorite movie of all time is Hatari, the adventure, the African adventure film with John Wayne. He loves it. He's a little sensitive to the high-paced action that is, of course, a feature of the Star Wars film. So I think we might hold off. I know some of you think that he's probably well past the Star Wars prime at 6 years old. But we'll give him another little bit before we sit down and watch these films together. His mommy, my wife Sandra, is a huge Star Wars fan, so I know she would love to sit down and enjoy these movies with him, and we will do so in due time. And I tell you, I will definitely enjoy them more because I know he will enjoy them. He's already a big fan just watching some of the clips on YouTube, and no doubt he will become a super fan like his Uncle Brian and his Uncle Frank and his Uncle Maddie. So I'm looking forward to watching him enjoy them. And so thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. And please support us at milehighshow.com. Head over to iTunes, subscribe, rate, review. Give us a rating. Give us a review. I would love to see some more reviews on iTunes, as well as downloads on Stitcher and TuneIn. And of course, like I said, each and every Monday at milehighshow.com. And above all, go out and support the local artists, entertainers, and businesses in and around your town, wherever that may be. Thanks again for tuning in.
Something really hot for these folks, a big hit out of 77. Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars. Give me the Star Wars, don't let them end. Star Wars, if they should Star Wars, please let me Star Wars stay. And hey, how about that nutty Star Wars bar? Can you forget all the creatures in there? And hey, Darth Vader in that black and evil mask, did he scare you as much as he scared me? Ah! Star Wars, those near and far.